The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm happy that my faith influences my political positions because my faith teaches me to care for the needy. My faith teaches me to respect and love even my enemies. My faith teaches me to forgive those who slight me.
Pictures change how people feel about abortion. Facts and arguments change how they think, and both are vital for changing behavior.
The Democratic Party watching out for the corporate interests of the abortion industry, we don't protect any other corporation as a party, so this should be no different.
Where do we find Jesus, and how do we get in touch with him? And the contention of the scriptures is that Jesus comes to us by means of that word which is preached and the sacraments which we receive.
New dads might get into the issues of prayer.
What is it that brings so many women into the doors of Planned Parenthood every year? We're not talking about women who go there willingly, who go there because they want to be there. They often go there with heads bowed in shame and guilt, and with no small amount of fear lurking in the backs and the fronts of their minds. And what does Planned Parenthood do when they get their hands on such a woman who is scared, desperate, and at least she thinks she is alone? Well, we know what the end result often is, and these stories are hard to tell and recall, but sometimes we need to. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, August the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Here in the first half hour of the program, we're going to hear one woman's experience with Planned Parenthood. Deaconess Ellie Cora will be our guest a little bit later. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be with us for our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. Today, the siege of Jerusalem. God promises to lay siege to his holy city. Why in the world would he do that? We'll have Issues Etc. comment line. That's where we go through some of your comments and respond to as many of them as we can. And then since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites to play for you. We'll play them for you, and then all you got to do is give us a call. Send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Deaconess Ellie Cora is a regular guest. She's a missionary care coordinator at the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and she joins us to relay one woman's experience with Planned Parenthood. Ellie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Ellie, about, more than 10 years ago, you found yourself inside a Planned Parenthood clinic. How did you get there?
Well, give you the short version, I guess. Basically, I was a college student, had been seeing my boyfriend for a couple of years, and found out, probably shouldn't have been surprising, but I was very surprised to find out I was pregnant. And my boyfriend at the time wanted nothing to do with it. And so I immediately was thrust into panic mode. And this is the thing I think a lot of people would do well to understand about crisis pregnancies, is they are a crisis, and you end up in panic. And this is, I think, probably a big part of the reason why women choose abortions and do end up walking into a Planned Parenthood, is because they think they don't have any options, and they think they just need to fix it as quickly and as what seems like the easiest way possible. especially when there's a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and everything else. I wasn't particularly abortion-minded at all. I wouldn't have said I was pro-choice, but I thought abortion was kind of this terrible thing, certainly, but it had never been something that would have crossed my mind until, so to tell you how deep the panic runs, I, prior to this, would have said, oh, no, people shouldn't have abortions. That's wrong. And then here I am, you know, walking into a Planned Parenthood. But do well to bear in mind, I wasn't walking into Planned Parenthood thinking, oh, I need to get an abortion. I was walking into Planned Parenthood because my local crisis pregnancy center was closed that day. And in my brain, I need to see a medical professional today. This can't possibly wait another day. And Planned Parenthood, well, they do abortions, so they'll have doctors. And so I can get a blood test, I can, you know, get my pregnancy confirmed, I can maybe get an ultrasound so I can have an idea of how far along I am. Things like that, things that you would want to talk to a doctor about. Of course, I didn't have health insurance at the time, which is the other reason I walked in there and didn't make an appointment with a doctor. So I end up there thinking, this is what's going to happen. And that's not at all what happened. Instead, they signed me up for a pregnancy test, which was your standard, you know, at-home pregnancy test that you would buy in a box for, you know, $10 or whatever they cost these days. And I was, quote-unquote, counseled for, probably 20 minutes, half an hour. And when I walked out the door, I was given a bill for $75 for services rendered. So,
I want to pause that for a second and talk about a few of the elements what you just discussed there, and then kind of go back to that day, you know, walking out with a $75 bill, and having seen what, you know, what kind of help Planned Parenthood was willing to give you. You talked about the panic. Do you remember specific things that you were afraid of? The things that, like, oh no, now, dot, dot, dot. What were those fears that were clouding your mind at the time?
Oh, sure. I had been a little bit off the rails in college. I'd been certainly partying more than I should have been, and probably not going to as many classes as I should have been going to. And my parents were aware that things were kind of bad, but I always felt like I could fix it. I could get my act together. Oh, you know, it's okay. Finding out you're pregnant is the point of no return. This is the point where you have ruined your life. It's irreparable. So that was a crystallizing moment. And so there was that panic sense of, I can't tell my parents. My parents, I've let them down. This is the point where they say, this is enough. We've done this enough. We've played this game enough. This is it. And I couldn't stand the thought of seeing them that disappointed. And of course, my boyfriend of 2 years had said that if you don't have an abortion, I'm going to leave. So there was that in the back of my mind, too. And so that was a crystallizing moment as well, was, you know, here's this man that I thought I loved and thought that everything was fine. And then, well, wait a minute, all of a sudden things don't go as planned. And it's not just I'm upset. And he was very, very angry at me because, of course, it was all my fault. So there, you know, there's that anger, that heartbreak, that heartache in there. It's a lot of confusion, and especially when you're dealing with it by yourself.
That was the thing that I hear coming out loud and clear here, is that you at least at the moment were convinced this was, you were all by yourself because you couldn't tell mom and dad, and the guy that you had trusted basically says, well, the only condition that I'm with you is if you have an abortion. You really are all by yourself, at least or so it seems.
Yeah. And it's interesting because they've done several studies recently that have shown that the single biggest factor in whether or not a woman will choose to have an abortion is if she has somebody that will come alongside her and support her and help her. And it may not even be monetary, it may not even be long term, but just in that moment to have somebody so you're not sitting there alone trying to figure it out. It makes an enormous difference. And I think that was part of it. Part of me going to Planned Parenthood, too, was I just needed to have somebody that I could say this to and somebody that I could talk it through with. At the point, you know, I was admittedly very, very naive, but I think it's telling when you've got a college-age student who isn't abortion-minded and walking in there, because that seems like the place to go for answers. It tells you a lot about what the narrative is regarding Planned Parenthood. Is, okay, yeah, you know, you may not agree with this, you know, 3% of their business or whatever it is that they do, but they do a lot of other great stuff, too, so you can go and access other resources. You don't have to worry about the abortion business. You can go there and talk to somebody about what your options are. And when I said I wanted to talk about options, I was thinking, okay, what does adoption look like? What does raising the baby look like? Am I being nuts by wanting to not have an abortion? And you walk out of there very, during a short period of time, pretty sure that that's not a viable option. There's no way that that's going to work.
So do you remember during that short counseling that you had there in Planned Parenthood, was it explicitly stated to you that maybe the best thing for you is to avail yourself of that 3% thing that we do here?
Oh, absolutely. What they did is they walked me through what my resources were, financial resources, relationship resources, so on and so forth. You know, the things a baby needs are a mom with money, with a job, with those sorts of things, needs a dad, interestingly enough. Maybe this speaks to the cultural shift that we've experienced. I don't know, but it was very clear. You know, do you have a partner who's going to support you? No, I don't have that. Okay, so I don't have a job. I don't have money. I don't have a partner who's going to support me. I'm not really sure what my parents are going to do, and I'm certainly not going to expect to raise my baby on their dime. So all of these things that a baby needs are things that I don't have. And, well, adoption, yeah, you know, some people choose to do that, but, you know, it's really very difficult, and it's not as easy as people make it seem. So here's a stack of pamphlets on the things you would need to raise your baby, that's all the things that you don't have. And here's probably one pamphlet on adoption, I guess, if you want to do that. But here are your options for an abortion. And, I mean, it was very, very clear that was kind of the road I was being directed down. Enough that I walked out of there utterly terrified that was the choice that I was really presented with, that I really had no options. And as I said, I didn't walk in there particularly abortion vulnerable.
But you walked out abortion vulnerable.
I was. And thanks be to God, I had called a very dear friend of mine the night that I found out I was pregnant, and it was a Sunday night, and I called her up, and she's living in Virginia, and she hops in her car in Virginia and drives straight up to Vermont. And so she was with me through that whole period, and she knew my family very well. She'd lived with us for about 6 months in high school. She knew my parents very well. We've always been very close. And, you know, I walked out of Planned Parenthood a wreck, not sure what to do. And she's the one that turned to me and said, you know, I really think you need to talk to your parents. And, you know, had I been alone, had I, you know, sort of bought this narrative that, well, you know, it's really, you know, it's quick, it's easy, it's painless, and you don't have to deal with all of this. You know, you can always have more children. This doesn't really change the outcome of your life. It's just this procedure. That's all it is. Then, you know, I shudder to think what could have happened.
Deaconess Ellie Coro is our guest. We're getting one woman's experience with Planned Parenthood. Pick up her story right there on this Friday afternoon, August the 21st, when we come back after about another 10 minutes with Ellie. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We'll do Christ in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 29, where the Lord, for some reason, says he's going to besiege his holy city of Jerusalem. We'll be right back.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa, St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. The Issues Etc. book of the month for August is the big book of New Testament questions and answers. It is exactly what it sounds like. It is a big book full of questions and answers that follows the course of the New Testament book by book. And, well, more or less verse by verse, the kind of questions that come up in Bible class that pastors get asked all the time that lay people wonder about, that's exactly what this book is, the big book of New Testament questions and answers by Michael Eschelbach, the Issues Etc. book of the month for August. You'll find it on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Call Concordia Publishing House and order it for yourself, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about one woman's experience with Planned Parenthood. Deaconess Ellie Coro is our guest. She's a mission care coordinator at the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Ellie, pick up your story where you left off there. Your friend comes to you, says, tell your parents. It would probably be a good idea to do that. In retrospect, to me, that sounds like she's saying, come on, you are not alone. Did you tell your folks right away?
I did. She was there, and I called my parents right away and said, yeah, you know, Renda's in town. We want to come up and see you guys. Can we come up and have dinner? And my college, my apartment was about an hour and a half from my parents' house, so it's not like you would just pop in. And so they knew something was up, but they were smart enough not to ask me about it on the phone and just kind of say, oh, okay, that would be great. So, yeah, I mean, so that day, it was a Monday that I went to Planned Parenthood, so it was that Monday night that I sat down to dinner with my folks and went and sat on their sun porch, and they flat out said, you know, what's going on? You know, something's up. And so I told them, you know, expecting shock, anger, revulsion, all those things. And, you know, instead my mom looked at me, gave me a big hug, and told me it was going to be okay. And yeah.
So everything that you had feared, and everything that Planned Parenthood in its kind of cursory dealing with you had tried to reinforce about those fears turned out to be completely false.
Completely. Yeah, if I think, you know, women, most people make poor decisions when they're completely isolated, especially when they're isolated from the people who love them, who care about them, and who will support them in the most difficult times. And if we can isolate people from their support network, it's that much easier to, you know, sort of shuttle them into these sorts of decisions. Whereas, you know, never in Planned Parenthood was it, hey, how do you think your parents will respond to this? Have you talked to your parents? Do you have any other support structure? It was, no. But as soon as I talked to my parents, everything just came crashing down. I mean, you know, one hug, you know, those hugs from your mom that you don't know how, you don't know what the details are, but you know that it's going to be okay. And, you know, it was a prodigal son moment. And, you know, for a year and a half prior to this, I had been fairly foreign to them. And then, you know, I come home with this, and instead of my expectation being, well, yeah, see, I knew she was off the rails, it was that which is lost has come back to us. And that's one of those moments that changed the whole trajectory of my life.
So, in other words, your parents didn't say, well, that's strike three, or
yeah,
strike seven, or whatever, however many strikes you had logged in their minds at that point. This was about taking care of their daughter and their grandson.
Yes, yes. It was joy at being able to help with that, to participate in that, to be glad that I was there, that I hadn't gone and made this decision. I mean, it was never a thought in my parents' mind that an abortion would be a way to fix this. I mean, ever. It never even was discussed. And they were just thrilled obviously they weren't thrilled at the choices that I had made. I don't want anybody to get that impression. But when you've lost something and it's found and it's returned, and then it's returned to you with a grandchild, and it meant that I moved in with my parents and spent the first 2 years of Andrew's life living with my parents, and which is where nobody wants to be when all your friends are graduating from college and are doing cool stuff and you're living with your parents. It's not cool, but it was a really wonderful bonding time for us. They got to spend wonderful time with their grandson and often said that, yeah, you know, we had our bumps in the road, as you do, living together, but they got to have their grandson right next to them and spend that time with him, which is a wonderful blessing.
A couple of final questions for you, Ellie. What would your advice be to a woman who is pregnant and is sitting in the same situation you were in 11 years ago?
My advice is to talk to a friend, for sure. Talk to your pastor. Talk to a loved one. Definitely go to your local crisis pregnancy center. You're never going to say anything to them that they haven't heard before. And they're there to help you and to support you and to give you real options. And talk to you truthfully about what those options are and give you tools for choosing life for your baby. And as always, you know, look to Christ. I was actually talking to my pastor about this yesterday, how the Lord takes these moments where we're at our bottom and gives us often at the end of it such wonderful things. And to have gone through this crucible, this absolute terror of living a life as a woman that's, you know, had a child out of wedlock, and what does that mean and what does that look like? And oftentimes things are a lot less secure than they would be if I had a husband and I had all those things that, you know, single moms are the first to know how important fathers and husbands are, because we don't have them. And that's scary. That's terrifying. But the Lord just takes that brokenness and heals it and just uses that to draw you closer to Him. So you're relying on Him all the time. And it's not a glorious place to be. It's hard, but there's nothing that compares to holding your baby. And everything is worth it for that moment.
What do you say to a woman who found herself in that position and out of the panic and the fear and the desperation, the isolation, went through with it and now deeply regrets what she did? What do you say to her, Ellie?
It is a hard thing. You have that voice of guilt and shame and fear, but our Lord has taken our guilt, our shame, our fear, and has made it his own. He's forgiven you. He's washed you in the waters of baptism. There may be no way of, in this earthly sense, of escaping that feeling of shame and guilt. We all have it. We all have it for things. Go to confession. Hear your pastor's words for you for the forgiveness of that sin. It would be his joy to give that to you. Go to the supper. Receive the Lord's body and blood given and shed for sinners such as you. That is who he is for.
One last question. Have you seen any of those Planned Parenthood videos? And if you have, what's your reaction to them?
Honestly, I haven't. I read an overview of the most recent one. Well, I read overviews of all of them, but I read an overview of the most recent one and could feel the bile rising in the back of my throat. I have no doubt. I know there's, given my experience, I have no doubt that Planned Parenthood is in the abortion business. I felt this way since my experience. That was crystallizing for me. They're not just an organization that happens to provide abortions. They are in the abortion business. They've built a business around dead babies. And it doesn't surprise me in the least. You know, when babies are a form of income for you, you will use them however you can. It's no different than a butcher shop saying, oh, here's some extra parts of the pig that we can also sell. It's no different. And so we shouldn't be shocked. And our shock and our horror over this is well served, and we should be shocked. But the other side of that shock is it makes me wonder how naive have we been about Planned Parenthood up to this point. And I'm glad to see that there's a lot of other people who have been kind of on the fence about them that are now starting to see maybe this is an evil organization. Yeah, it is. It's an evil organization. It doesn't serve women. It doesn't give women choices. It's there to build an empire on the bodies of dead babies. And that's it.
Deaconess Ellie Coro is a mission care coordinator at the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ellie, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
On the subject of Planned Parenthood, there's a nationwide peaceful protest of Planned Parenthood from 9 to 11 tomorrow morning, Saturday, August the 22nd. Now, if you know of a Planned Parenthood clinic in your area, just show up tomorrow morning at 9. You can also find out more about this Planned Parenthood protest at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to go right into the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 29, where God threatens war against his city, Jerusalem. We'll find out why with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. When the Apostle Paul stated, I have become all things to all men, was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel Visit steadfastlutherans.org.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.